Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up later in the show, we'll look at how the Supreme Court is inserting itself as a player in the 2012 presidential elections. Coming up with Emily Bazelon from Slate in the second hour of our show. Right now, should you get paid for all your accrued sick time, whether you're sick or not? That's the question behind the latest battle between Governor Christie and public employee unions. Montclair State politics and law professor Bridget Callahan Harrison will help us understand this one and help take your calls, 212-433-WNYC. Hi, Bridget. Happy holidays.
Hi, Brian. Happy holidays to you, too.
So what's the practice now for public sector workers in New Jersey?
Right now, we have essentially a two-tiered system. State employees can accumulate up to $15,000 in sick pay and take that when they retire or when they end their careers in service. However, on the municipal level and at school boards, there is no legislative cap. And so what this means is that a teacher or a police officer can accumulate an enormous amount of sick pay and then cash out at the end of their career. And this has caused quite a bit of controversy. As a matter of fact, there's kind of a term for it. People collect their boat checks because lots of times if you've been a healthy employee or you've come to work when you're ill, you accumulate such a large amount of cash that you can actually go out and buy yourself a boat at the end of your retirement.
Mm.
And so what this means is that some municipalities, for example, the city of Newark, has $46 million in pending payments to people who are retiring who haven't taken their sick time but have accumulated these cash payouts.
And is it only this question of the payouts when people retire for the sick time they never used? Or is it also that they're taking off time each year, whether they're sick or not, and no one's checking?
I think that more to this issue, what we're seeing pending before the legislature right now and kind of one of the components of Governor Christie's toolkit, that is his set of tools that he's attempting to give municipalities in order to control property taxes, is this issue of the payouts at the end of a career of service. I think that the problem of people abusing sick leave is one issue, but it's something from a legislative perspective that they are not tackling at this point.
Lewis in Asbury Park has a question for the governor on this, I think. Hi, Lewis.
Hey, Brian. Yeah, listen, with all these issues, I understand going forward down the road, it's probably all these things need to be reevaluated. But presently, it just feels that this is another mean issue just to divide people. It really feels that way because really what happens is you just end up at each other's throats within families. And a lot of towns, a lot of families have someone working for the town or a teacher, and they have another family member. And I just find that it's a real divisive issue. And also, it's just really ironic that when I was growing up, everybody said, go work for the public sector, become a DPW guy, become a policeman, become a teacher. And everyone was driven in that direction because of those benefits. And now it's really ironic that now they just want to kick sand in people's faces that chose that career, and they're entitled to it in the short term.
Although, Lewis, I know you're raising the issue of taking something away from a current worker to whom it's already been promised. But how about that basic concept that you raise at the end? People encouraged you, go be a public sector worker because the benefits are so great. Is that how our public sector worker pay should be structured? Should it be, better than the private sector in these particular respects so much that people say, don't go to work in the private sector, go to work for government because you'll have better bennies?
But it never was. At the time, they would tell you that, you were paid less back in the day. I knew a lot of people went into DPW policemen, and then they would be paid less and then have these benefits down the road, retirement, et cetera. In the town, I'm also live up in North Jersey, in my town, Rutherford, the police chief retired and the lieutenant retired, and yet they had a lot of accrued sick time. And because of the politics of the town and everyone at each other's throats, they took away a lot of time away from two good men that deserved what was promised them. And it just seemed very unfair in the big picture, but going forward, I could see changes. But in the present, to take things away from people seems wrong.
The Giants, the Jets, and Lewis, all from Rutherford.
Hey, thanks.
Lewis, thanks a lot. So, Bridget Harrison, is it exactly as Lewis describes, is the governor proposing to actually take this accrued sick time pay away from current workers as they retire, as they're anticipating it, or is it for the future?
Oh, no. I think that there's two different proposals, and one of the things that the governor is proposing is essentially zero. You get zero. And I think that in many ways, Lewis is right. You know, I've been teaching for about 17 years, and one of the things early on when I would speak to my students, particularly those who were first-generation college students who were interested in finding stable employment, if they were so inclined, I would encourage them to become teachers or police officers for the very reasons that he listed, and that is, you know, the starting salary, the base salary, was typically lower than you could find in the private sector, but there was a great deal of job security and there were great benefits. One of the things that I think that we've seen is testimony to the effectiveness of the public employee unions, and so that now, particularly in this economy, many people in the public sector are actually doing better economically than many people in the private sector. And I see that that is probably why we have this divisiveness, this kind of chip on the shoulder from not just the governor, but many in the private sector that wants to pull away benefits that public employees already have. And you know, in my view, the public employee unions probably didn't get on the page early enough in recognizing the political hot potato that they were and kind of, you know, dug in their heels. And, you know, now that kind of intransigence is coming back to haunt them.
Leonardo in Monmouth County, you're on WNYC. Hey, Leonardo.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm okay. How about you?
I'm doing well, but considering what our governor, Christie, is proposing. But anyway, I'm almost approaching retirement age. I've been only employed with the county for 13 years after working 40 years in the private sector. So I could balance both industries out quite well. Mm-hmm. However, the reason I took a beginner's job, because of the benefits, and I use the sick time. I've rarely taken a sick day off. As a form of savings. Now, this governor seems he has a vendetta towards civil service employees in general, and he's taken away also some benefits also from the middle class of New Jersey. He's trying to destroy that. I'm looking forward to this sick time payout as a form of for my retirement. I am not making a great salary, and the reason I took this job was because of the benefits.
Let me play Leonardo. Stay there. Stay there 1 second. I'm going to play you a clip of the governor and give you a chance to react. Here, the governor is addressing a compromise proposal where I guess you'd get part of that sick day payout. From State Senator Paul Sarlo, a Democrat. Here is the governor on that.
Only a liberal Democrat like Paul Sarlo could actually say that with a straight face. $3.25 billion is not a small amount of money, and it doesn't represent a compromise. It represents him selling himself out to the public sector unions. That's what it is. We all know this, Angie, because this makes no sense otherwise. Everybody understands that sick leave should be when you're sick. And their argument is, well, people may use it otherwise in a fraudulent way, therefore we have to pay them not to commit fraud. Imagine that argument to the public. That's Paul Sarlo's argument to the public. We need to pay off every public employee $7,500 so they don't commit fraud.
Now, Leonardo, hang on for 1 second. Professor Harrison, why did he call this fraud?
Well, let me talk about this from a personal point of view. My husband was a public employee. He taught at a state college for about 30 years. And like Leonardo, he did not take sick days. When my daughter was born, he actually went to work, you know, hours after she was born. And so he did, you know, he was very committed.
With this in mind, so he could stockpile for a retirement payout?
You could not do this. You could not get your cash payout because of the contract that he was working under. But then, at the end of his career, he became terminally ill, and he had accumulated 18 months of sick time over the course of his career, mm-hmm. which he was able to take. In my view, that is the incentive, not the cash payout. Mm-hmm. But God forbid something should ever happen to you in which you require taking those sick
days. But the governor wouldn't take that away from the workers,
absolutely
would
not.
He? Because then you're actually an employee and you're actually sick.
Absolutely. And I think in terms of when we talk about disincentivizing and that we need to incentivize people not to take their sick days to go Christmas shopping or whatever,
right.
The real incentive is you may actually need them. You may actually get sick. You may need them to care for a loved one.
So the governor may think this is a bad deal, but where does the word fraud come in for him there? Is it clear to you?
Well, I think it comes in in terms of fraud, because I think that there are those in the state legislature who are saying that in order for people not to take that full bevy of sick days that are available to them annually, you need to incentivize them to come to work. In my view, that's a false dichotomy. In my view, people are smart enough to understand that their child may become ill, their spouse may become ill.
Mm-hmm.
They may use those sick days under Family Medical Leave Act to care for loved ones. They may get pregnant. That's how that's one primary way in which women use sick time.
And some people may say, I have these days in the bank. I'd like a day off. I'm going to call in and say I have a cold.
There you go. And they may. And people do that in the private sector as well. The difference, of course, is that if you do it in the private sector, you're not rewarded at the end for not doing it with a large check.
Right. You don't get these sick time buyouts at the end of your career in the private sector usually.
Exactly.
Leonardo, one last word?
Yes, well, my last word is that if this is something that he will be taking away from it's something that should be grandfathered. This was something that was in the back of my mind 13 years ago when I took this position that, maybe this is a form for me of a savings. No, if you got, it's like me having deposited money in a bank, and all of a sudden I'm going to withdraw that money,
yes.
And you're telling me that money is no longer there.
Right, and thank you for your call. And Bridget Callahan Harrison from Montclair State will end on that question. The question of grandfathering, which is, I guess, literally an accurate term in this case, it is, when they talk about reforming Social Security, for example, anybody says, anyone who's 55, 60 years old is going to get the Social Security under the old system.
Right.
How old would Leonardo be affected? Is there a cutoff of age under which people would be able to still cash out their sick time under the expectation that they've been able to live with all these years?
Well, right now there is no decision because there is no compromise. And the reality is that if the governor continues to insist that accumulated time is taken away, chances are it will wind up in a court battle, and chances are that he would probably lose. But I think one of the things that we've seen in all kinds of reforms, including ethics reforms, is that this governor has been successful in changing the game from this point forward, and you may just have to take the loss of dealing with the grandfathered in cases as the political reality. Right now he seems unwilling to do that, but given the legal challenges, that's probably what's going to transpire.
Bridget Callahan Harrison, politics and law professor from Montclair State, on Governor Christie's latest battle with the unions over accrued sick time and whether you should get paid for it when you retire. Thanks for coming on.
Always a pleasure, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Up next, we're going to talk to the actual head of the NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board, and a behavioral psychologist on the question of using even hands-free phones when you're driving. Maybe you heard that the head of the NTSB proposed yesterday that the states ban phone use entirely, including hands-free. So we'll hear their takes and we'll get yours. Listeners, are you willing to give up your hands-free car phones for safety? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. This is going to be your chance to talk back directly to the head of the National Transportation Safety Board, who wants to take away your hands-free car phone. 212-433-9692. I tend to think it's a good idea. What about you? Call us up.